Here's our text as we start. Ask. Seek. Knock. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Our theme is going to be on prayer. As I was finishing up my studying last night, I made the mistake of turning my television on, and my television is locked in on ESPN. Well, from 10 to 11, ESPN was airing a program called Believeland, which was their special on my life, your life. We relived the drive and the fumble and the shot and everything else. It was a depressing show. So this is going to be a depressing message. No, actually, 2 minutes into watching it, it did strike me. There was this picture of Municipal Stadium. You remember that old stadium? That was just about empty. You remember that too. But they honed in on one guy in the midst of somebody losing. I don't know if it was the Indians or the Browns at this point. But one guy, and he was praying. And I thought, oh, interesting. Maybe God does not always answer prayers. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Let me start by saying this. I am no prayer Jedi master. And so when I bring up the subject of prayer, I bring it up as a fellow struggler with most of you. This morning, as we wrestle with what is Jesus talking about, we wrestle with the guy at Municipal Stadium, we wrestle with the whole issue of prayer. And I want to take it out of just a Sunday morning lecture, out of the abstract, and right into where all of us live. I want to begin with an idea that begins this way. The way we pray, think of that guy at the stadium, the way we pray is a reflection on how we see God. Or let me put it another way. Our view of God determines the manner in which we pray. Case in point. Can I get the next slide? For some of us, prayer is like having a genie. If I just rub him, my marriage will be healed. If I just make 3 wishes, the cancer will get better. If I just take that lantern and make it mine, I'll get that job. Sort of a magic formula. If I can just rub it the right way, I'll get what I ask for. Sometimes prayer is like burning incense. I have to get in the right mood, or the odor of the room has to be such, or it has to be in a spiritual context. It can't just be, I've got to burn some incense here. And sometimes prayer is just like a blank check or a debit card with no limit. I can just write in whatever I want, and if I name it and I sign it in the right way, I can get everything I want. Problem is, when prayer, like that guy in the stadium, when prayer doesn't fulfill what I am hoping for, then my image of God begins to get really foggy and cloudy. And then my prayer life becomes very weak. All right? Sometimes our view of God is not any of those. It's more like, well, he's just too distant to care. He's just too busy, and I don't really think Our view of God determines the way we pray. And Jesus comes toward the end of his Sermon on the Mount, a sermon where he is asking his followers to be his followers and all of the characteristics that go with it, which means from the start, living from the inside out. And not just commandment followers, but deep, deep commandment followers. So that it's not about murder, it's about anger. It's not about adultery, it's about lust. It's not about judging, it's about loving. And yet throughout this sermon, he keeps harking back to praying, to praying. Jesus' followers are praying people. And he says he's going to tell us that there is a real God that exists out there. And he can exist in here. And it is that God for whom we pray. He is a loving Father who desires an intimate relationship with his followers. And that intimate relationship, like any intimate relationship, requires communication. And prayer is the communication that he seeks. And so we see this passage. Ask comes right out of the blue in the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, where did that come from? He just got done talking about don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't give inappropriate spiritual stuff to unspiritual things. And then he says, ask. And you're not even sure he's talking about prayer yet. Ask and it will be given. He's just talking, it sounds like just a like common courtesy. Ask and it'll be given to you. So you're at the restaurant and you need some water, ask. They'll give you a glass of water. Seek and you'll find. Can you tell me where the men's clothing is? Oh, it's on the second floor. Okay, seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. Unless you're a Jehovah's Witness and then you knock and people pretend they're not home. Everyone who receives, everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, it will be opened to you. And then he switches. And I'm going to switch this thing in a minute. Let's go to the next slide. Please. There it is. Or, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, here's where he turns the corner. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so now we see, oh, he's talking about prayer. And he's basing his talk on prayer, not on guilt, which is so often the way we go after prayer. You're not praying. You better pray. He's basing his talk on prayer, on grace, on love, on the good image you have of God. How much more were your Father? And so it brings us right back to ask, seek, and knock. Ask and receive the intimacy from your Heavenly Father. Seek, and you'll find insight from him. Knock, and the door of faith and courage will be opened. God is desiring an intimate relationship with his people, and the way in which you do it is you communicate. And the way you communicate is through prayer. And so I want to spend just a few minutes looking at this passage. First asking, why pray? And then asking, so then. So, as you think of this, you know the passage in your head now. Ask, you'll find. Seek, ask, and you'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened. So, why pray? Well, first of all, because we are invited to pray. The God of the universe is inviting people to talk with him. His son is saying, you ought to pray. His son is actually even commanding prayer. We should be praying. Why pray? Because the God of the universe invites us to pray. We used to be part of a seminary program in Akron. Trinity was the seminary in Chicago. And Trinity Seminary has some of the best read evangelical scholars in the world. Brilliant men and women of God who have written all kinds of things. And the cool thing was, on a regular basis, we would fly them into Akron and they would teach courses for seminary students that were part of our campus. Now, what I needed done, I was one of the adjunct teachers, so I sort of helped organize some things. What I needed done was one of our interns on a regular basis to pick up one of the profs at the airport, take him back to Akron, and then 2 days later do it again. It was like pulling teeth. I'd say, hey, can you go pick Dr. Carson up? No, I'm busy. I'm going to the hot dog shop. What? And so I began telling stories because when you need to make a point, you tell a story. I said, you know, when I was in seminary, you know, it was back in the Lincoln administration. When I was in seminary, Dr. Ryrie, you remember? He was the guy that wrote the Bible. Some of you have the Ryrie Study Bible. Dr. Ryrie asked me if I would take him to the airport on a regular basis. So I did. I had that man in my car, captive audience, for 45 minutes several times. I could ask him anything. We could talk about all kinds. It was amazing. You don't want to take these guys? Don't you realize the access that you have? Now, on a much smaller scale is this than what Jesus is saying. Ask. Why pray? Because we are being invited by the God of the universe to pray. To talk to him, to speak with him. And again, this is a no guilt zone today because Jesus' tone is not guilt. I still want to ask the question, have you accepted the invitation? Talk to the God of the universe. Ask. Seek. Knock. Have you accepted the invitation? In many ways, I think the biggest mystery about prayer is not prayer itself. And there's a ton of mystery there. The biggest mystery about prayer is that I don't, on a regular basis, take advantage of that access. The God who created everything, including me, says, ask, you'll receive. Seek. You'll find. Knock. The door will be open. And I don't take advantage of that. I got all questions, kind of things, and I'm asking. Nobody but him. I'm lost, and I can't find my way. And I'm seeking, but not him. And this door is slammed shut, and I won't knock. And the biggest mystery is, why? It goes back to my concept of God. Is he too busy for me? Am I too busy for him? Why pray? Because I've been invited to. Why pray? Next one, please. Because we are assured of answers. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock, and you'll be opened to you. Now, Jesus is assuring his disciples, who are somewhat doubters at this point, that if you ask, it won't just be a religious routine. There will be benefit in the asking. God will actually answer. Be encouraged to pray because God is not toying with us. If we ask, he'll answer. If we seek, we'll find it. If we knock, he'll open the door. He gives good things to those who love him. Why should I pray? Because we're assured of answers. I remember, this was again many years ago, I became a follower of Jesus Christ at Kent State University. And I don't remember who encouraged me to do it, but for the first, let's say, 6-9 months of my following of Christ, I kept a journal of my prayer requests. And on one side of the ledger were the requests. On the other side of the ledger were the answers. By golly, if they weren't lining up. He actually answers. And so as I was either in a doubting way or in a discouraged way, as I would look back, I'd go back to that journal and say, oh, yo, he did it. Our daughter was 12 years old, and she so badly wanted to go to gymnastics camp. And she was a gymnastics whiz and wanted to be a champion. And there was this camp out near Penn State in Pennsylvania. And Oksana Bayul, I think was her name, was going to be at this camp, who was, you know, she was the Roger Federer of gymnastics, or the LeBron James, I'll use that. She had to go to this. Well, this was $500. This was $500. Where are we going to get $500? Dad, I got to go. Mom, we got to go to camp. All right, let's just start praying. And we started praying. And I didn't broadcast it. And as we prayed, our little 12-year-old got to watch how God provided in various ways and in various means. Here came some money. So by the time it was to register for gymnastics camp, she had $500 to go to camp. Why pray? Because we're assured of answers. I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. It started in 1924. In the late 1930s, it was in deep financial trouble. So much trouble that they were fearing that they were going to have to close. They had a prayer meeting in the little room that was used as their chapel. And they were, if they didn't come up with $10,000 like right now, Dallas Seminary would no longer exist. A fellow by the name of Lewis Sperry Chafer was the founder and president of the seminary. One of his faculty was a guy by the name of Dr. Ironside. And he asked Dr. Ironside to pray for the school and for the future. And Dr. Ironside gets up and he prays, Lord, you know that we have dedicated our lives and this school for the benefit of your kingdom. And Lord, you know that our needs are great. We do not want to close these doors. Lord, you are the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills. Would you sell a few of them so that we could keep our doors open? True story. By the time chapel service was over, in the door comes Dr. Chafer's secretary with a memo. He just got word from a East Texas cattle farmer who just sold several heads of cattle and is sending a check of $10,000 to the school. Why do I pray? Because we are assured of answers. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, let me just give a caveat. This is not a promise that God will give us everything we ask for. It goes back to our concept of God. Is God a genie? Is God just someone that will give us at every request? Your wish is my command. What's your concept of God? Do you give your children everything they ask for? Probably not. Remember the movie Bruce Almighty, where Jim Carrey was God for a day or a few days? He decided it would be much easier if he just said yes to all the prayer requests. Remember that? And so he says yes, 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 yes to all these prayer requests. And all these disasters happen because you can't say yes to everything and the world not go completely crazy. Well, the world was going crazy. So he asks of God, or actually of Morgan Freeman, what's going on here? I gave everybody what they needed. And Morgan Freeman says something brilliant. He said, when in the world do people have a clue what they really need. So just a reminder, we pray because we're assured of answers. And yet the answers have to be according to the character and the wisdom of God. What Jesus is assuring his disciples is that God indeed loves them and can be trusted. A couple of verses in the scriptures I just want you to hear. In Jeremiah, the Lord says, "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." We are assured of his answer. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Ask, seek, knock." We're invited to pray. We're assured of answers. Thirdly, we are all invited to pray. He would write, "Everyone who asks." And I just want to say a couple of things there. We are all invited to pray, meaning you don't have to have a theological degree or an office in a church. Everyone is qualified, everyone who asks. A couple of things I want to say about that. First of all, certainly God can hear and answer the prayers of the orphan, of the widow, of the poor, of the oppressed. Know that. He says it over and over again. And also, let me say, in the context of, especially of this Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we need to hear that the foundational right for our prayers is Jesus' name. "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you." In other words, the cross of Christ is the foundational piece whereby the everyone qualify for prayer. The gospel is basically this. The God of the universe has been rebelled against by the creation of the universe, and we are part of it. The cross of Jesus Christ is the peacemaking element between those two warring parties. When I am under the cross of Christ by faith, I am no longer part of the warring party with God. I am now a child of God. And as a child of God, I'm invited to come and pray. And every one of us is. Regardless. Hear the everyone, and if you are in Christ, include yourself in the everyone, please. And then fourthly, why pray? Because God our Father is much nicer than the other people that we regularly ask stuff for. There's my whole sentence. Here's how Jesus puts it. "If you then who are evil," he's talking about people, and we ask stuff of, this is Jesus' understanding of human depravity. Everybody has an evil bent. "So then, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children," and we all do, even the creepiest of parents at times give good gifts to their children, "how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" How much more? Why pray? Because our Father is much nicer. Much nicer than the people we normally ask stuff for. And let's face it, as parents, sometimes we don't even know what our kids need. And so we give them, and we don't know even if what we're giving them is right. Throughout their entire relationship, my father and my sister were at odds. I mean, it was Ali Frazier most of the time. Sorry for those of you that are too young. Those are two boxers that kept fighting. Always. And I remember at one point, and my dad used to give the brothers were so jealous of her because she got everything. She got a car and she got clothes and the one thing she never got was a horse. I have no idea why my dad didn't get her the horse, But he never got to the horse. And I remember toward the end of my dad's life, in talking about his strained relationship with his daughter, I remember him saying, maybe I should have gotten Susie the horse. Now I look back and I think, maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten her all of that stuff. And I'm not just talking as a jealous brother, maybe a wee bit. How much often as parents who don't have a lot of clues about our kids, give them too much stuff just to keep them quiet or just to be on their good side. And we don't know what we're doing sometimes. Contrast that with our Heavenly Father, who knows exactly what he's doing and knows exactly what we need. And when we ask him, we are asking someone who is much nicer than anybody else we ask. I remind us, next verse, with these verses. Can I see them? Here they are. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Believe that. Believe that. Next verse, it comes out of Isaiah. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? The answer is probably not. Even these may forget now and then, the Lord says, yet I will not forget you. When you think of the devoted love of a mother, multiply that by a zillion, and you've got the goodness and love of a father, a heavenly father toward you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Do you ever see someone with henna? Henna is that stuff that you see it a lot in India, where people put designs on their hands. Once in a while, the henna will even have, like I saw someone with henna that had the Hebrew letters of shalom, of peace. What is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying, you are so special to me that you, your name, is on the palm of my hand. When you don't think you ought to go ask God, check your concept of God, who loves you so much, who finds you so special, that just like the teenager that writes his favorite girl's name on the back of his hand, God has written your name on his. You can go to him. You can go to him. So then, what do we do? First of all, we have to ask. We have to ask. And you want to say, duh. But more than duh, we have to ask. How often we don't ask. James would write, we have not because we ask not. A friend of mine works with Muslims. He used to be a Muslim himself. And he said, you know what Muslims call Christians? The prayerless religion. We have to ask. And as an American believer, all of us, we've got so much ingenuity. We've got so much power. We've got so much money. It's really easy to say, I got this one. Don't worry about this. And so we don't ask. And then sometimes we don't ask because we've been asking long enough and the answer's been no. And you can only be told no or wait or whatever the answer is, and you're tired of it. I am convinced that the biggest disappointment in prayer is when we bring those deep, heartfelt issues to our Father and they go unanswered. The conversion of that loved one, the health of that loved one, this one losing a job, injustice in the world that we wish would get corrected. And we pray and we pray, and it's like God never got our text, and he won't respond to our email. And after a while, and I've seen it, you just stop praying. I don't have a good answer to the problem of unanswered prayer. I don't. I have an intellectual one, and actually probably one of the podcasts we'll do this summer will be on unanswered prayer or prayer in general. But I don't have a good answer to satisfy the heart. And I know there's all kinds of answers. None of those satisfy me. So what do? You focus on the character of God. What kind of God do you have? We have a God who's good, and a God who's light, and a God who's caring, and a God who's written our names on the palm of his hand, and a God who's near. And we keep on asking. And we keep on asking in faith and in trust. And sometimes the trust buoys us, and sometimes the trust wanes. And sometimes we get discouraged. And yet, even in our discouragement, we've got to keep on asking. We've got to keep on asking. And so the second so then is I've got to keep on asking and not quit. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The Apostle Paul would write, pray without ceasing. Have you? Pray without ceasing literally means, some have said it's talking about a spirit of prayer. Not so much. I think it's talking about don't quit. Don't quit praying. Someday, I'm sure you'll hear Sue tell her story of her father. When Sue was a high school student, she came to faith in Christ, and there was real animosity between her and her dad because of Christ, and she would never let the name of Christ leave her lips again to her father. It was dangerous. But she never stopped praying. And year and year and year and year and year go by. And finally he came to faith. Don't quit. Don't quit praying. Keep asking. Keep asking. Repetition is good. Not because we're waking God up, not because he's too busy, but because God desires communication with us, and key to communication is the spoken word. And the more I speak, the better I communicate. And repetition enables excellence in anything. In anything. And so as I repeat my prayers, I'm getting better in communicating. Repetition brings excellence. I hate to bring him up, but Stephon Curry. Shooter for the Golden State Warriors, who the Cavs are going to play the next series after they win this one. Amen? Do you know, he's got a great outside shot, an amazing outside shot. After every practice, he takes 100 shots from outside the three-point line. The three-point line is the way outside. 100 after practice, he takes 100 three-point shots after every practice. Recently at a practice, he made 77 in a row. He made 94 out of 100. Repetition brings excellence. You know, there's the old story of the aspiring musician running into the maestro in New York City and says, hey, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And the answer, practice, practice, practice. How do I get to know God, my Father? Pray, pray. Ask, ask, ask. What's your concept of God? So then, I have to ask. I have to keep asking. Thirdly, I ask believing. Believing a good God hears me and answers. Believing a good God hears me. Probably if we all took a theology test, we would pass it. Is God good? Yep. True. Is God able to meet my needs? True. Why don't I ask? Is it that I don't believe? Is it my pride? Is it my laziness? I'm talking to me now. I ask, believing a good God hears me. And then lastly, right attached to it, I ask God, who is my kind Father. I'm not just asking the almighty sovereign of the universe. No, I'm asking a personal God who's got my name on the palm of his hand. I am asking someone who has given himself the title of Father to me. All of us as fathers, all of us as parents, especially in this single parenting age, we have a huge responsibility to love our kids in a significant, generous, gracious way, knowing that a little bit of their glimpse of God will come and their glimpse of us. Wow. But hear this. God is everything a good father is, and a million times. That's who we're asking. And he gives. I have a love for nice suits. Kind of like Keith is wearing back there. I love nice suits. One of the reasons I love nice suits is, as a young pastor, and it was back in the day when, you know, this is an Abraham Lincoln sermon, isn't it? Everything was back in the day. We wore suits a lot more than we wear now. And pastors can't afford, especially really nice suits. My dad and I wore the exact same size, 41 regular. He'd always go to the finest suit stores in those two cities. And he would buy himself, he was a physician, so he wore lots of suits. He would buy himself suits, and he would always buy me one. And I had a whole bunch of them. I love nice suits because my heavenly father provided me with an earthly father that gave me really nice suits. If my earthly father can give me that, how much more will my heavenly father give me? I'll close with this. First time I was ever in India, which was, probably 20 years ago now. Crazy. India's crazy anyway. It was really crazy back then. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no connection. My first time there. Jet lag. Culture shock. Unbelievable. And I have no connection. I can't get a hold of Sue. I have no Wi-Fi. You know, the phones, there's no phones. So I've been there almost a week without any connection with the outside world. And I'm getting ready to speak at in a large lecture hall. And I must have been feeling homesick or whatever. I didn't know what was going on, but I'm still upside down. Somebody comes and sits right next to me and hands me a fax. Remember those old faxes on those shiny papers that if you rubbed it the wrong way, the message went away? I got one of those. It was all rolled up, so I had to unroll it. And somehow, I have no idea how, my dad got a hold of where I was, and he sent me a fax. And all it said was, "Hey, Paul, thinking about you. Hope you're doing okay." That's all. And completely without control, tears started coming down my. The guy next to me is about to introduce me as the speaker, and he looks at me and says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm great. My father cares about me, and he knows where I am." Our concept of God will affect the way we pray. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Would you pray with me, please? Father, most of us here are amateur prayers at best. Teach us, Father, that it's not the methods or the eloquence. It is our heart that you desire. Father, those of us who have quit praying, I pray today we could start again. Even just with a few words of hello. Father, thank you for the great reservoir of resources that we have through you, through prayer. I pray that as a church, we would utilize them. As families, as individuals, we would be bending your ear. May we be a people who ask, who seek, who knock, and who expect our Father in heaven to give good gifts simply because we've asked for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. close. Father, thank you for being the one who has given us life, who has given us your Spirit. And now your Spirit allows us to communicate with you. If you're here this morning and maybe you've quit praying, it doesn't work, I would encourage you to start again, just with a word or two. Ask for something. Seek something you've lost. Even just knock. What is this? Father, we ask that you would be present in our lives throughout this week in this church. We seek your will in all that we do and your pleasure in our activities. And we look for the open doors we knock on for courage, for faith. Father, we want to be a praying people. We want to communicate with you, the loving Father, the risen King. And we do it through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and live.